so excited. But this morning we have one of my favorites on a subject that's one of my favorites, as we just look at those DNA markers, those things that make us who we are. The wonderful elder, the wonderful pastor, Leonie, is going to come up and share with us. I am so excited. So, Leonie, please share with us. Amen.
Half-hearted, I mean. This is freaky. I say this every time. I have to get up here, which has only been like four times, but may not look like it for those who know me. I'm freaking out right now. That part's easy. I say it every time. Someone gives you the words to sing, the melody to sing. I just got to sing it. This stuff I have to come up with on my own. Well, not really. If it's terrible, I got all of this from the Lord 2 weeks ago. We'll blame him, as we do with everything that goes wrong. If it's great, he kind of hinted at some stuff and I came up with everything. Just trying to think. It is so hard. The last few people that have got up have been really, really good. And then all I've heard this week, and I thought I'd get away with it this morning, was, oh, you missed such a great message. Rob was so amazing. He was so funny. And Rob was so funny. You know, and it's like, And he's up here during worship while I'm trying to worship going, one more song. Actually, I think I'll leave it till after church so that we can get time for your word. So if you saw me going, I was trying to stand on his feet. And all I keep hearing, I don't know if you guys have watched the movie Cars, the animation one, where, you know, the green car is mocking Lightning McQueen because he spun off on the grass. And I was trying to get comfort from my older brother, you know, who's supposed to be encouraging, and oh, I don't want to do this, I'm panicking. And he's like, oh, you know what, I wouldn't worry about it because I don't have to do it, you know. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so he's still funny, even this morning, funny guy. Didn't know how to open. I was saying, I don't know how to laugh on cue. Well, I can laugh on cue. Don't know how to crack jokes. I don't know how to write them into my message. So 2 weeks ago, our system went down at work, so I literally had nothing to do except for wait for the phone to ring. So the Lord was like, it's almost as if someone made time for you to write some stuff down. So I literally sat with my head in my hands and said, okay, well, what do you want to say? I've spoken on prophecy before, had a quick listen to that. I've never listened to it before. This was the first time, and that was like years ago. And I was like, oh, she is so awkward. I was like cringing listening to it. No different this morning, still awkward. And the Lord was like, yeah, I don't really want you to use any of that. I want to talk about something different. It's like, okay. And then when Scott was like, oh, so we're going to do the DNA thing, want you to speak, I was like, yes, worship, I've done this 100,000 times, I can do it, I know this. He's like, so Georgia's going to speak on worship. And I was like, oh, bet that's going to be prophecy. But I was like, oh, yeah, thinking, I love prophecy. I love everything about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's so easy to speak on something when you know it inside out, and you think you know it inside out until someone tells you you've got to teach on it, and then you think, do I really know it? And the scary thing about getting up here is you have to line it up with the word and find scriptural backing for what you're trying to teach. The other thing about prophecy is it's like something from the X-Files, you know, like, or Stranger Things, if you don't know what X-Files is. That heebie-jeebie kind of spirit side, whether you either believe it or you don't, you have experienced it or you haven't. And it's really hard to explain your journey through it. I didn't want to get up here and be stoned like some of those prophets in the Bible. Or being a Matt, one of those crazy prophetic people that Matt was convinced prophecy was for crazy people until we got him in the worship team. And next minute, Matt's like, I see this and God's saying that. I was like, you're a crazy prophetic person. And I hear he even says now, one of my giftings is prophetic. Yeah. So, I said I wouldn't pick on Amy this time, so I picked on Matt. So I was trying to do kind of what Georgia was doing with getting the perspective from out there on prophecy or from someone that has never given a prophetic word or really doesn't know what it's about, asking myself all those questions, like, what is it? How do you do it? Who can do it? So I thought, oh, well, I'll start with what the dictionary or the world defines as prophecy. And it said, it is a prediction of what will happen in the future. So I looked up prediction or predicted. It is something that is stated or estimated as likely to happen in the future, a forecast. So I looked up forecast, which was prediction or estimate. An estimate was to roughly calculate or judge the value, the number, or the quality or extent of something, an approximate calculation or judgment. So I was like, well, that's rubbish. That's not prophecy at all. It's not an accurate description of my God or his character, because my God knows our future. He knows the beginning from the end. Sorry, I'm even nervous using my phone because I feel like Sandra's growling me. Sorry, Sandra. All the versions that I'd written down were like ESV, and I only have New King James or New Living or NIV at home, so it's my phone. All right. So he knows us. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So our days were already written out before we were even formed. So that reminded me of something that I'd heard years ago, I don't know where or who said it, about a bird's eye view of watching a Christmas parade. And this morning I was thinking about when we lived in Wellington and my parents worked in the city and they took us to some high building. I was about 4 or 5 and we went there to watch the parade. And I don't know if anyone remembers Buzzer Bumble, but that's what I wanted to see. And I could see from where I was, I could see the beginning as it started. Then about a third of the way, I could still see the beginning and the middle and part of the next procession. About another third of the way through, I could see the end and I could see Santa, but I could no longer see the beginning. So I was thinking about it, and if I'd had the perfect bird's eye view, I would have been able to see the beginning and the end of that parade. And I remember someone saying, that's a way of seeing how God sees our life. He can see the beginning from the end. He can see what's coming in the middle. He can see where we were distracted by the noise over here. If we're going to be distracted by more noise up here or get lost in the crowd, or if we're going to get stuck anywhere, he can use examples from the front of the parade, so to speak, to help you with the end. He can see the end in mind and that glorious moment of Santa Claus for some. But Jesus, he can see the end of it. So then I went on to see what the biblical definition was for prophecy. And it was, a description or representation of something futuristic, representation beyond the power of a human to foresee or discern. It is communication from God to humans. And I thought, that's better, because it's outside of us. It's beyond our power to see what's coming, to see what is before us, but it is in God's power, and it is ultimately for his glory. But he gives us this. He communicates with us so that he can let us know what's at the end. He can let us know what's coming. He can see and give us direction for our journey on the earth and for what he's preparing us for and called us to. 2 Peter 1 verse 21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it's from God. And when we give prophetic words, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, hang on a minute. This is the awkward part I'll be listening to in my recording in a few years' time. Good, thank you. Yeah. So Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's given us gifts, but he's given them to build us up and to encourage us. And how often are we in need of being built up or encouraged? And we know that from certain things that have gone on this week, we need to be encouraged and built up. How many times have we come forward to receive a word of confirmation over situations or direction for decisions in our life or for comfort? God wants to comfort us. He wants to build us up. He wants to encourage us. He wants us to be living with a future and a hope. He wants us looking forward to what's ahead and even to get excited about it. He's excited about our future. And that's why he lets us in on these little snippets of our future, these little sneak peeks, to show us his plans for us are good and exciting, and that we're going to love what's ahead. He speaks to us in times of trial to show us that it gets better and that there's a calm after every storm and that you will get through the storm. And just speaking about that, I remember a few years ago, I felt like I was in the middle of a huge storm, and we were called out to do worship at another church. And I thought, yeah, why not, you know. I wasn't in the mood, but I did it anyway. And then during the service, the pastor said, if you're going through a struggle right now, if you feel like you're in the middle of a storm, while the worship is playing, while they're singing, come forward and we'll pray for you. And I thought, well, great, who's going to pray for me? I have to be up here singing and worshipping, so where do I fit? And he was like, don't you think I can minister to you up there? You know, I can do this as long as you just focus on me and let me download into you while you're worshipping. So I was like, okay. And as soon as I closed my eyes, I saw a picture of me in this little dinghy boat in the middle of this massive storm. I couldn't see any opening. I couldn't see any sky or anything like that, just waves. And the Lord said, you have just come out of the eye of the storm, but the waves are still really rocky. But trust me. And he kept putting his hand out and said, trust me. And I was like, no, I don't trust you. He was like, just trust me. And at that minute where I thought, should I trust him? I saw this little bit of light coming through. And I thought, oh, yeah, why not? So I reached out and I took his hand and I said, I trust you. And in that moment, I could the bit of sky that I could see was getting bigger and bigger and brighter until I was out. And I looked behind me and I could see the storm raging. And the boat was still rocking, but I was out of the storm. And so sometimes, even when we've come out of the storm, there's still a bit of settling that needs to go on in your life. And, there's still a bit of rocking or damage that needs to be healed or taken care of when you come through the storm. So he gives his words for comfort and reassurance to let us know that we're on the right path. He gives for guidance and direction, encouragement and instruction. And he gives us words for other people's sake. Amos 3 verse 7 says, for the Lord does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Which made me think, well, why? Why even bother sharing with us? And this one word popped up, and it was just partnership. God wants us to know his heart on every matter, right back to the Garden of Eden. God had provided for all of our needs and more. He wanted us to love and enjoy our time on earth. So I was reading about the creation and Jesus, God creating the Garden of Eden. And it says he made trees of every kind of fruit and living thing to sustain us, basically. But they were also pleasant to the eye. So he not only created something that was going to keep us alive, he created something that was going to be enjoyable for us to look at, to experience. He created a river that flowed from Eden. So he not only gave us a life source to sustain us as well, with water and somewhere to get clean, but just for good fun, he threw diamonds and gems in the water. And it's like, wow. So right back from the beginning, he was giving us things that we need, but also desires, pleasure. He wanted a real relationship and a partnership with us. But even with all the provision, he still wants us to work. The hard labor of that work came after the fall, but before that, he had still said to Adam that he was to take care of the land. He created us for relationship. He conversed and met with Adam and Eve regularly on a very personal level, as if you're going to go for a walk through the redwoods with somebody. He did that with Adam and Eve. He shared, I believe, his vision about why he created the earth and what his goal was, because he told Adam to tend the land. So to me, that's him saying, if you do this, this is what's going to happen when you till the land. This is what we can expect from it. This is what my goal is in this land and intending it. So right from the beginning, he was sharing his heart about creation. You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. But this morning I watched a little two-minute clip, if you haven't seen it, and you're friends with Amy, you can go and see it, about the very first sentence in the Bible, even the very first few words, in the beginning. And I'm not going to attempt the Jewish word, but there's a Jewish word for it. And if you break the Jewish word in half, it means my son for bringing forth. Yeah. My son bring it, that I'm bringing forth. So right from the very first sentence in the Bible, the Lord was speaking prophetically. He already knew that Satan was going to be cast from heaven and tempt Adam and Eve. He already knew they were going to take the apple. He already knew we were going to need a savior. So he was already speaking prophetically with when he said those words in the beginning. So obviously, prophecy is important to the Lord. So going back, what is prophecy? It is communicating God's heart. It's having conversations with him and communicating that to others. So in that respect, nothing has changed. He still wants to share his plans with us. God has never pulled away from us. All that relationship, all partnership in the garden, we were the ones that pulled away. Adam and Eve hid in the garden and became ashamed of their sin. They tried to cut the communication line. But even in their sin, before Adam had confessed his sin and God had been given the chance to forgive him of his sin, God was still calling to him, calling out, Adam, where are you? He still wanted to talk to them. He still wanted to converse. He still wanted to communicate and still provide for them. He even still spoke with their children. He spoke to Cain and to Abel. So then I was thinking, well, why me, God? Why would you give me or you or anyone the gift of prophecy? So going back to the gifts in Ephesians, verse 4, it is Jesus who decides who gets what gift. We can choose to accept or receive, refuse that gift. And even if we do accept it, we actually have to use it. Prophecy is not conjuring up words or... I was thinking about why me and how hard it is to be a prophet. And God was like, well, why? Why is it hard? It's like, well, you've got to give all these words and you've got to convince people. And he's like, well, no, you don't. You only have to speak what I'm telling you. There's no need to conjure up anything. If you just wait on me, I'll give you words, and you pass that on. It's like, oh, yeah. And I freak out when I have to give words, and then I get to that point where I'm like, just be quiet. Listen to what God's saying, and it'll be easy. And it always is. So it's easy to give prophetic words if you are operating, one, under the power and instruction of the Holy Spirit and in love. And I'm taking too long to get to them on my phone, but 1 Corinthians verse 13 and 2 talks about basically that if you're doing anything without the motivation of love, you're just like a clanging cymbal, that everything should be done motivated by love. Amen. I was like, am I done? Still got 8 pages. No, I just did that because Scott was like, ooh, can you read that in like 3 minutes? But yep. So how do I prophesy? Prophecy is God-given and Holy Spirit-inspired. I always thought that prophets constantly walked around like knowing what was going on. I kind of feel like that with the Semple family. Like, I like walk past them quite a bit and just, hey. And then I go to Beth, well, did they say they saw anything? You know, freak out. I always thought that, and I remember when I used to go to church when I was younger, there was a lady that was known as a prophet, and I would never, she'd always look me straight in the eye and be like, how are you doing? And I was like, I don't know, you tell me. Like, I would freak out and I'd avoid her at every cost. And she was lovely, and I asked her when I grew up, and I was like, did you always know what was going on? She was like, no, I didn't have a clue, just wanted to see how you were. And I was like, oh my gosh. I thought that because you're a prophet, you already knew everybody's mail, and you were like trying to see if we'd confess quickly or something like that. So who can or should prophesy then? 1 Corinthians 14:31 says anyone can prophesy. Anyone can prophesy. There are gifts and there are offices of a prophet, which I'll leave to Scott to talk about another day, but anyone can basically prophesy. In prophecy, you are relaying God's heart message to someone or a group of people, as I said before. So the key to prophesying, because anyone can do it, is staying close to God, learning to hear his voice, and being obedient to pass on that information correctly and accurately, not adding to it or taking away from it, to flash it up, water it down. Especially if it's hard, we want to take some parts of it out. But if God's giving you a word, he's obviously prepared that person's heart. If you give it in love, is led by the Holy Spirit and his timing, that person, whether they show it or not at that time, will be prepared for that word. Even if it hasn't registered with them right now, I guarantee they'll take it away and mull over it through the week, and God will speak to them. I've had that happen a number of times where I've given a word, and sometimes it's been a really horrible or hard word, and that person's gone, nah, means nothing to me. And I've gone, okay, so that means either I'm not hearing properly or I've messed that up, or maybe God hasn't downloaded that to them yet. But they've come back to me and they've said, you know what, I went away and prayed about that and it was bang on. God showed me what that meant. It's like, phew. Yeah, so it'll connect better with the recipient if you're saying or speaking exactly what God tells you to. Sometimes he's only given me one word. I remember saying to somebody, they're like, I need prayer for this and I want prayer for that. And then I want you to give me a prophetic word when you're done praying. And then can we meet at a later time to pray over it? And all I got was peace. And I just said, peace in Jesus' name. And they were like, you know what? I feel good. I feel God's peace. I don't think we need to meet. That is exactly what I needed to hear. And, you know, and in it, I was thinking, right, I need to pray this. I need to pray a prayer of peace preparation and all this thing before it. And the Lord was like, nope, just say peace. I was like, but, and he's like, nope, just say peace. I was like, okay. So I've learned that over the years. And I've done the thing where I'm like, I'm going to do it anyway and add. And people have said, I totally agreed with you up to this point. It's like, damn, that's where the flesh kicked in. And so I learned pretty quickly that just to do what the Lord says. So we've been given a word. What do we do with it now? In Isaiah 7:14, a virgin birth was prophesied. 700 years later, Jesus was born. So our word may not be for this very moment today at at 12:07. It could be, well, usually prophetic words are for something that's about to happen in the future. And God doesn't see in days or time or years the way we do. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, he then spoke to Joseph about that prophecy, that word that was given 700 years earlier. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, he speaks to Mary about the virgin birth that was prophesied. In verse 34, she says, "But how will this happen? I am a virgin." And in that little sentence, God said to me, "It's okay to ask questions when you're given a word. It's okay to ask, how will this happen? Why me? Why do I have to wait that long? Who else is going to be used?" He wants you to talk to him about it. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants to converse back and forward about these words. And not just, you know, and it says you should weigh up the words that you're given with the scripture. Ask the Lord when you receive a word, is that what you're really saying? Can you show me in the Bible? Can you give me confirmation? Can you bring someone along to say, yes, God said, I got the same word for you? So ask him questions. In verse 38, Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word." She accepted the prophecy, and then she walked out her life in obedience to that prophecy. And we know that Mary was obedient because we have our Saviour. So you can get given a word and you can reject it and you can walk in a totally different path. Not saying that everything's lost. God can still bring you back to that path, or he can create a new one to get you back to where he wants you to go. We have to walk in obedience and believing the prophetic word that we're given. When it is in regard to you, you can choose to walk away from God's path, which could render the word void, or as I just said, God will create a new path. Keep praying into it and calling it forth. Not that God needs reminding, but we need reminding. So we say, "Thank you, Lord, for that word that you spoke over my life. Thank you, Lord, that you have this good plan for me. Thank you, Lord, that that promise is going to be fulfilled." It's a reminder to us, but it's also that we're walking out in faith and trusting that what God says is true. God says it, we believe it. That settles it. Luke chapter 21, verse 33 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not." How often have we been given a word that hasn't come to pass in a day or a week or 2 years, and we think, "Oh, you know, did God even mean what he said? Was that for me?" Like, his words will not pass away. So if he's prophesied something over you, that will not pass away. That promise won't be forgotten. Keep praying into it. So is prophecy relevant or important? And that's a question I know a lot of people have asked for years, or just said, prophecy is not relevant for today. It was something for the Bible times, but it's not for today. But when we look over what I've just talked about, partnership, knowing God's heart, is that relevant or important for today? Yes, definitely. Well, I think it is. By the way, disclaimer, I should have said this at the beginning. If you don't agree with anything, Scott and Jeremy are available after the service to debate with you guys. So, does God still want to partner with us? Yes. Yes? Yes. Does God still want to share his heart and his plans for the future, or even for now, with us? Yes. Does God still want to offer us specific guidance and instruction for our lives? Yes. I belong. That's what I feel like I'm doing. Does he still want to encourage us and build us up? Yes. So, in saying that, I believe God still wants to use prophecy today, and it is still relevant. No, I'm not done. But wait, there's more. You can see I'm getting faster as I speak. I'm trying to hurry up. One of the things I wrote down was, God's ways are higher than our ways. And then with the death in the family this week, I was like, "Oh, and you want me to get up and say that you speak and, you know, your words don't fail and all this?" And I just heard, "My ways are higher than your ways." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, and you've put that in my word. Awesome." but it is. His ways are higher than our ways. And we can't begin to explain why God uses prophecy. We just have to accept that it's a tool that he gives us to help us get through our journey. If God chooses prophecy as an avenue for anything, that's his decision. He alone has his reasons for why he creates, puts in place, establishes methods, and does things. He's God. He knows what's going to be beneficial for us. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to read that. All that. But yes, I believe God still wants to prophesy. When Kara was speaking about witnessing, I believe that prophecy is a way to witness as well to unsaved people. When you can go up and God says, hey, that person needs to hear this, and they don't know the Lord. We don't know if they haven't just walked through the red woods to say, if you're real God, someone has to tell me that you love me. And so he gives you a word. And then if you do this, I'll believe in you. And then he gives you a word. That's how important it is to share what the Lord lays on your heart, because we don't know what that other person is going through or what they're asking and how our word is going to be a key witness of Jesus or the stepping stone into the rest of their life with God. And it blesses them. It testifies that God is real. So how do we use prophecy, and when do we need to use prophecy? When is it appropriate to use prophecy? Anytime. It is okay to use prophecy anytime as led by the Holy Spirit, with a motivation drenched in love. God doesn't reveal or share things with us for us to judge the receiver. If he shows us something that's not so good in another person's life, it is never for us to rattle that information off to others or go and talk about it with others or even to ridicule and judge that person. It is to encourage them, even if it is a rebuke. And we should always ask God, should I share that with him now? Wait for his yes, and wait for the peace that comes with the yes, even if it is a hard word. We can pray for people at home or in our cars or at work and ask God for a word for them. He'll either give you the word directly for that person, or he'll tell you who he has already given that word to. And you can go and say, hey, I feel that God's given you a word for such and such. I just want to confirm that. Or sometimes he'll just say straight up, no, it's not for you to know, you know. And I'm like, okay. But he says, but you can pray for that person. The biggest thing, I think, is to be patient and don't rush God for a word. Even when people have come up and said, I want a word, I felt the pressure to, like, have one, you know, on demand kind of thing. And you can get kind of anxious about it. But then in those times now, I've learned to say, do you mind if I just wait? And it can take a long, awkward time. But just wait. It's always worth waiting rather than just trying to conjure up something in order to get that person away quickly. I don't do that with you guys, promise. I love prophecy. Love it to bits. And it's so fun when you start. I was talking to somebody this week and kind of sharing about how I had to get up and how it's such a hard subject. And she said, oh, you know, the last time we talked about prophecy, and they made us do this game, and I thought, oh, here we go. She's going to say, absolutely hated it, and I hope they don't do that again. And I was like, oh. She said, I haven't been able to stop the visions from coming in. I haven't been able to stop the words. And I was like, oh, that is really cool. I thought I was going to get stoned again for speaking about prophecy. So, yeah, it's really cool. Prophecy can be used at ministry time during church. You can go treasure hunting. I don't know if you've heard that. Where you can do this on your own or in a group, and you pray and ask the Lord to give you a vision regarding a person, and you go and find that person and give them the word that goes with the vision of who you're seeing. So God might say, go to the redwoods, find a man in red shorts, a black top with a white hat. I need you to tell him my answer is yes, or I love him. So you can do that. That's prophetic treasure hunting. But otherwise, any other time, as the Holy Spirit leads you. But get good at the other times. Learn to hear his voice and know his voice, like in prayer. He responds. So then why is prophecy important to me, personally? Why do I love it? One, it is a gift that he has given me. And we all know it's rude to reject gifts. But yeah, it's a gift. And obviously, if God knows my personality, he knows that I'm going to enjoy this gift, even if I don't know how to put it together or how to use it in the beginning. He wants me to use it and be obedient with it. So I use it because I want to encourage people. I want to build them up. I want to give them hope. I want them to get excited about their future and their now. I want them to know that God loves them, that he thinks about them constantly, that he is pleased with them, no matter where they're at in their stage of their journey, that they're doing a good job, even if they think that they're not, that God is their biggest cheerleader. I want them to keep going. I want them to know that their blessing is just around the corner, that the storms will end, that the promises will be fulfilled, you name it. It's just as fulfilling for me to deliver the word knowing it has landed well and that I've been obedient and that it resonates with that person. That's pretty much all I wrote down. I had a whole other sermon in the shower this morning. It was amazing, but obviously not meant for this moment. But yeah.
Hey, Leonie, how are you doing? So here's...